You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Wednesday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. On today's episode, Pro Football Focus put out their quarterback annual. So let's dive in on some of the more granular data about Drew Brees and Taysom Hill's performances. Both quarterbacks get a few shining marks, but in entirely different categories. We'll talk about why that's important for the Saints' future at the position. Then we'll get into our next piece for year in review for segments 2 and 3. We're on to the running back positions. We'll talk about Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray, and the rest of the crew. We'll start off by reviewing their 2020 season, a strong one for Saints running backs, led by record-breaking performances by Alvin Kamara. Then we'll get into the outlook at the position for 2021, why we should expect similar production from Alvin Kamara next season regardless of who's under center, why it might be wise to bring back Ty Montgomery, and why, even though Latavius Murray is a fringe cut candidate this offseason, he should be back for 2021. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com. And your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, let's go ahead and jump into this. We're going to try to move pretty fast and furious through it because we have a lot of information to share. But this is some really, really good stuff from Pro Football Focus, their quarterback annual. Is out. So we're looking at the takeaways from Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. Jameis Winston didn't play enough snaps in 2020 in order to be included in this. That's why we're not talking about Jameis Winston. He's just simply not included in the annual this year because of lack of snaps, which actually works in New Orleans' favor, as we've talked about before. So as I mentioned in the intro, both of these quarterbacks in 2020 were kind of polar opposites based upon these evaluations. Now, that shouldn't really be a surprise considering that a lot of these evaluations point to accuracy, which is where Drew Brees excelled, and big play potential, where maybe you saw a little bit more efficiency offered by Taysom Hill. So this is basically what we should have expected following last season, but now we have some numbers to back it up. So lots of talk about Drew Brees showing his age in the annual this year, went from being the highest graded passer from 2017 to 2019 to now the 23rd rated passer in 2020. Credited with some other things like uncharacteristic mistakes, rushing passes to avoid hits. Of course, he was dealing with a lot of injuries toward the back half of the season and even early in the season, as we learned from Brittany Brees on Instagram. Reliance on shorter routes. No duh there, right? This is all true from my perspective. None of it is really insulting because it's merely a product of what was put out on the field in 2020. And you know what? The Saints still won 12 games. They went on to the playoffs with it. So keep in mind that these evaluations are relative to team success and managing drop-off and limitations by what they ask the quarterback and offense to do. So none of this is a slight against Drew Brees. It's just evaluation, and the Saints found ways to work with it. You can look at Taysom Hill, who gets a lot of credit for taking shots downfield, but also some of his needed improvements included a need for refinement, called a bull in a china shop at times, improved movement in the pocket, which we'll talk about more here in a bit, timing and accuracy. Those are both things that we knew were issues for Taysom Hill, or at least challenges for Taysom Hill. So again, all illustrated knocks, nothing egregious here. Much like Brees, though, the Saints were able to win games with Taysom Hill. And of course, he's only got 4 games of starting NFL experience. And I wonder personally if getting that up-tempo 2-minute offense down in the offseason wouldn't actually help Taysom Hill learn a little bit more of what Pro Football Focus calls the gentle nature of the passing game, and help him speed up his capability to progress through reads as well. Just something I'm left lingering with after that 2020 season. So now let's go ahead and take a look at where these two quarterbacks excelled relative to one another, which is accuracy for Brees and then downfield for Hill. So Brees' accuracy numbers, as you would guess, were off the charts, right? Accurate throws to receivers within the frame at an elite 69.5%, first in the NFL. He threw the fewest inaccurate catchable passes in the NFL and the second fewest generally uncatchable passes in the league as well. And most accurate areas of the field for him were 0 to 9 yards, so within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, as well as 20 plus yards down the field. He was 11.9% and 11.1% respectively over the NFL average. The least accurate areas were between 10 and 19 yards and behind the line of scrimmage, but still between 7 and 9% above the league average in those fields. So they're the least accurate relative to where he was most accurate, not relative to the rest of the NFL. He also had over a 90 pass rating on 10 out of 11 routes on Pro Football Focus's route tree, with the heaviest share going to out and drag routes. 10% of his target share went to vertical fly or 9 routes, surprisingly, or interestingly, I guess you could say, but the depth of those targets, not very far down the field, right? You can run 4 verticals for Drew Brees. It's going to look different than when you run an all-go special with Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. Brees also clocked in the third highest on-target percentage among the top 32 quarterbacks across all routes and above average accuracy percentages on all throw types, except for over-the-shoulder placement. Now, some of the same categories and more for Taysom Hill, not as impressive, but we'll get to some of the things that were more impressive about Taysom Hill in here as well. Those same accurate throws that are within a receiver's frame, 52.8% off the mark for 32 for the top 32 quarterbacks there. However, at the same time, he threw among the league's fewest uncatchable passes, so there is a little bit of hope there, but he is among the league's highest total in terms of catchable inaccurate passes, so inaccurate ones that can still be caught. So he had a 100 plus passer rating on 4 routes, vertical or 9 routes, 113.7. Post routes, which were a perfect 158.3, but those are only 3% of his target share. Ins, which were 109.8, and then drag routes at 124.0, which was the largest target share, along with curl routes. Very good passer rating on all basically in-breaking routes, but struggled on deeper out-breaking routes, although he did perform well on out routes themselves, which were a little bit closer, second level toward closer to the line of scrimmage. Now, a couple of other little things here. Most accurate area for him was between 10 and 19 yards of line of scrimmage, but still just 3.1% over the NFL average. His least accurate was behind the line of scrimmage, minus 18.9% below. So it's a big thing that he's going to have to work on if he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. We saw him struggle, of course, with screen passes, swing passes, things like that behind the line of scrimmage. Now, one of the things that he did do well was utilize both Jared Cook and Michael Thomas on third downs and in the red zone. They were his most targeted sort of assets there. And he looked like he and Jared Cook actually were more efficient in the red zone, 3 of 5 for 2 touchdowns during that time. We talked yesterday about how Cook only caught 33% of passes from Drew Brees in the red zone. Now, another important place where these two quarterbacks, kind of to wrap us up here, were on opposite ends of the spectrum was time to throw. Drew Brees took 2.49 per seconds per throw on average, meanwhile, which was rather the 6th earliest thrower in the NFL. Meanwhile, Taysom Hill hung around for 3.02 seconds, the 5th latest thrower. So Hill finds his name amongst some other names like Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson in that metric. All of those, of course, mobile quarterbacks who can extend plays. So this is more of an indication of quarterback style than offensive line play, for instance. So let's look at passer rating by time to throw between 2.1 and 2.5 seconds. Drew Brees up there, 103.2. Taysom Hill a little bit further down there at 89.5. However, more than 3 seconds to throw, Drew Brees 126.2, Taysom Hill 120.3. So they're right on top of each other on that one. So being able to be efficient while holding the ball longer does give you time for routes to develop downfield and allows for more ways for you to attack 20 plus yards down from the line of scrimmage. Brees' arm strength may have necessitated a lesser focus on those types of targets, but the complicated trade-off when they switched to Taysom Hill for those 4 games was that they had the option to go downfield, but then they also had to protect the quarterback longer than the offensive line was accustomed. That's why the maneuverability inside the pocket does have to clean up for Hill so that he ends up not stepping up into pressure, but his ability to get outside the pocket helps a ton. It's just about him being able to take clean passages in order to escape. So if we did see the last season of Drew Brees in 2020, the Saints are going to be looking to find ways to replace his pinpoint accuracy while increasing their ability to challenge all over and down the field. Is Hill the best option for both of those things? Is Winston the best option for both of those things? It unfortunately feels like it's going to be a remains to be seen type of a situation until we see it on the field. The quarterback position continues to be an intriguing part of the puzzle for the New Orleans Saints as their offseason moves along. All right, y'all, so we are far from done for today's episode, although that was a ton of information, but a lot of fun stuff to dig into. We'll continue to go back to this and look at more granular data throughout because there is so much stuff in this quarterback annual. And it's really interesting stuff, if we're being honest. So I would love to talk more through it, but we're going to switch gears here a little bit. We're going to jump over to the running back position next, take a look at the 2020 season in review, and then finish up with an outlook on 2021, talk about which running backs need to be back for the New Orleans Saints behind Alvin Kamara. We've got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And if you like granular data, you like looking at trends, you like doing all that, then you're probably a pretty good bettor as well. So I'm going to tell you where you should go and check out and spend some time. That is betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Now, the NFL might be over, but there's still the NBA, college basketball, and NHL, and of course, the MLB right around the corner as well. They also cover more things like awards, TV shows, and reality TV, giving you updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine and more. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up at betonline.ag. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Receive that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, family, moving right along with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Appreciate you as always for being here and for joining us, whether it's your first time or your next time. Always means a lot to have your support. Remember that we're here with you 5 days a week, every Monday through Friday, talking about your New Orleans Saints. But if you want to hear more as well about sports news all around the world of sports, you can hit up our Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski, breaking down all of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts, all in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's jump into some of the fun here. It's Wednesday, which means that it is review, year-end review time. So we're going to take a look at the 2020 rushing season for the New Orleans Saints and look at the running back room. So let's start off with a few. Let's start off in the run game in particular. Alvin Kamara, so incredibly close to his first 1,000-yard rushing season. Unfortunately, because of the COVID diagnosis before the Week 17 game, he was unable to play the final game of the year. And so were all of the other running backs. So Ty Montgomery jumped in to help there. We'll talk about him more in just a moment. When you talk about the run game, Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray, those are your top two rushers in the NFL. For the New Orleans Saints, they both combined for 20 rushing touchdowns together. And then they also caught an additional 6 touchdowns as well. But nothing outshadows Alvin Kamara's incredible season, with 21 total touchdowns combined rushing and receiving, 16 on the ground, 5 through the air, 932 rushing yards. He was very, very close, averaged 62 yards per game, and on a per attempt basis, 5 yards per carry. So he was right back on his best level of production, or online with the best level of his production of his career. Remember, looking back to 2017, when he was drafted, he started off with that 6.1 yard per attempt average, but then that dropped to 4.6. It hung around 4.7 last year, back up to 5 yards this season. Alvin Kamara would go on to break the single game rushing touchdown record in the modern era. I don't care if it or is Ernie Nevers did it back in the 1920s. We don't talk about those days because they're pre-modern era. Alvin Kamara is the record holder for 6 touchdowns in a game. He also holds several more records for being the first player in NFL history for 4 straight seasons to have over 500 receiving yards, 500 rushing yards combined. He had that league-leading 21 touchdown year. He was absolutely incredible all season, caught 83 passes, a new career high from him after going 81 over the first 3 seasons of his career, averaging 9.1 yards per catch. Again, the best average for him since that 2017 rookie year, where he averaged 10.2. So he added, just to get over to the receiving game for him, 765 receiving yards, totaling the most scrimmage yards of his career so far, 1,688. So he was absolutely remarkably productive for the New Orleans Saints, made some huge plays in the screen game, downfield, in the run game. He did it all, and he was everything that you would hope when you give a starting quarter or a starting running back a brand new contract, right? Like, that's one of the things that you absolutely hope for, is they're going to be able to come out there and produce. And he certainly did that. His running mate, Latavius Murray, also remarkably consistent throughout the season, although his role itself is inconsistent, right? How he is utilized is different just about every game and kind of differs game plan to game plan. But 656 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns for this one, 43.7 yards per game. So combined between he and Alvin Kamara, they combine average over 100 yards per game throughout the season. He also added a receiving touchdown on a really great play in that Kansas City Chiefs game where he broke out of pass protection and then ended up making himself available for Drew Brees. A little catch and run for him there. Added 176 receiving yards, 7.7 yards per reception on that season. And I'm trying to look because I didn't look this up before, but yards per target for him this year, 6.8. Yeah, his best mark of his career. So you saw him really add that part of his game for the Saints. So that has been a really, really good addition. 88.5% catch percentage, also the best of his career so far. And in that 636 rushing yards, not at the top of his career, but it was just below what he did last year, or actually just above, rather, what he did last year at 637. So again, some consistency there. He also had 5 touchdowns last year, 4 touchdowns this year in the run game. So what you saw from Latavius Murray is great. I think that there are some folks that are concerned that Latavius Murray is a little inconsistent, but you have to remember that his role differs game to game depending upon what the scheme and game plan might be. Sometimes he's leaned on heavier and you'll see him get, you know, between 15 to 20 carries per game. And other situations you see him fall below that because they're playing against the Atlanta Falcons and the passing game is working, or Taysom Hill's at quarterback. And so you have that power runner who has the ball in his hands every single play, right? So all of these different things sort of factor into the usage of Latavius Murray. You saw him only get 3 carries against the Raiders, for instance. That was a game to where they had to bail, the Saints did, from the run game pretty early because of how quickly they fell behind. And then after that, you saw toward the end of the season, his carry numbers drop with, against Atlanta. The second game against Atlanta, only 5 carries. And then he had 4 carries each against Philadelphia, against Kansas City, and then against Chicago in the playoffs. So those were sort of the big things that ended up happening toward the end of the season. But I still think that he produced well enough for you in his role that you look at bringing him back next year. But we'll talk about more of that on in the third segment. But let's talk about one more running back here very quickly. Ty Montgomery, who came in relief of, well, I was going to say Alvin Kamara, but really the entire running back room, in addition to, of course, Tony Jones Jr., who entered and helped out there, but unfortunately was injured. That's basically his year in review. He got an opportunity week 17, but then got hurt, the poor guy. And so we didn't really get to see too much of him, but I still like him. And he did get a futures contract, so he will be back in camp in 2021. But for Ty Montgomery, big game there, 18 carries for 105 yards, 5.8 yard per carry average. Didn't get into the end zone, but did add a catch for 2 yards as well. Didn't get in the end zone in that one, but still was a 33-7 win. So the Saints were okay there, but certainly showed you what he could do for you, not only there, but you also saw him get some special team snaps as well. So you saw him be a big part of the offense when called upon in that moment. So you like that with a guy like Ty Montgomery, who basically gives you Alvin Kamara's game in a very similar frame. And he also gives you some pass protection as well, which really is the thing I want to highlight about Latavius Murray and why he's so important. We'll talk about it a little bit more here in just a moment, but Latavius Murray, big time addition in pass protection. One of the other reasons why I don't anticipate the Saints moving on from him, unless they absolutely have to. And then we'll quickly shout out Dwayne Washington as well, who did get 8 carries for 15 yards this season. Didn't have a big breakaway run, didn't get to take advantage of many opportunities, but is, of course, a core special teamer for this team, is a free agent heading into 2021. So what should the Saints do with him and Ty Montgomery and even Latavius Murray, all with the potential of hitting the market or already set to hit the market in 2021? We'll talk about who should stick around and who the Saints should gather behind Alvin Kamara in 2021, including a potential reunion for the New Orleans Saints as well. We'll have that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And there is no better reunion out there to discuss than the reunion of you and a brand new shiny box of Built Bars. When you run out, you miss them. You want them around. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Except with Built Bars, you always know what you got. You've got 18 amazing flavors, including 6 brand new flavors and a new flavor on the way, or actually a returning flavor on the way, peanut butter crisp, one of my favorite bars that they have. It's they add, you know, it's a crisp bar on top of it. So it's super good. But of course, covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, and absolutely something that you can enjoy while looking to lose or maintain weight, even though it's absolutely delicious. You look at something that sounds like it's going to have a ton of sugar, like a cookies and cream flavored bar, 17 grams of protein, but only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So reunite with a brand new box of Built Bar today by going to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's get it, Who Dat Nation, as we wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Don't forget to check out Locked On NFL today with Tony Wiggins and James Rappian, who are going to be working with one of our Locked On draft experts to talk about prospects in the upcoming drafts. You want to hear more about your team and some of the top prospects from around the NFL, go and check out Locked On NFL. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's jump in and wrap up our outlook of 2021 at the running back position. It's going to be pretty short because the big question is, who do you bring back behind Alvin Kamara? Do you bring back Latavius Murray, who does have a team out this year? Do you bring back Ty Montgomery? Do you bring back a Dwayne Washington, right? I think as far as I'm concerned, the answer is yes, yes, and yes, if you can. I think the idea of keeping this team together is always going to be the Saints' number one priority, right? That's always the first thing. Return as many in-house free agents as possible. Ty Montgomery, Dwayne Washington, both free agents. Not a real reason to move on from Latavius Murray unless you find a replacement that can be a little bit cheaper. If you move on from Latavius Murray this season, it does save you a little bit of money. Not a lot of money, but it does save you a little bit of money. If you were to cut him right away, $2.4 million, call it 2.5, it's 2.487. If you were to designate him as a post-June 1 cut, it's $3 million. So not much of a difference there. So do you decide to move on from him and save $2.5 million just to go and pay somebody else $3 or $4 million for the year? I don't think so, unless you can get somebody at a vet minimum. But then is $1 million really that much of a difference, right? So for me, it doesn't make sense to move on from Latavius Murray because he has been consistent for you. He has been able to do what he needs, what you've asked him to do. And he's been able to fill in and be a lead back when asked to do that. We've seen him do that in separate occasions over the first 2 years that he's been here in New Orleans. So I think you keep Latavius Murray, and I think you also work to keep Ty Montgomery. But there's a specific reason why I think you work to keep Ty Montgomery. I talked about before how he had a similar frame, 6'4", 216, Alvin Kamara, 5'11", 215 about. So similar frames, similar abilities as receivers out of the backfield. I think you get a little bit more pass protection from Ty Montgomery, something Alvin Kamara has been working on. He mentioned that last offseason that was something he wanted to improve in. But with the COVID protocol scare that's going on with the New Orleans Saints right now that could result in fines and things like that, the Saints can reduce the amount of impact that is taken on by the team by disciplining Alvin Kamara, which could potentially mean a suspension. I'm not saying it's going to be, but if the Saints were to make the hard decision that, hey, look, we have to suspend Alvin Kamara in order to lessen some of these fines so we don't lose draft capital and all these other things, if they were to make that decision, then having Ty Montgomery makes sense because he gives you that. Or if the league decides to suspend Alvin Kamara and it's completely outside of the New Orleans Saints decision-making process, then having Ty Montgomery protects your playbook, essentially. So that's one of the reasons why I look at him. There are some other options out there for the Saints going into 2021. Let's say they can't retain Dwayne Washington, but they want to bring somebody else in. You keep Ty Montgomery so you have a special teamer, right, at that position, somebody that does multiple things that helps you in that Dwayne Washington role. But then you can potentially have some time here and some funds in order to reunite with Mark Ingram, who's 90 yards away from being the all-time leading rusher in New Orleans Saints franchise history. And sure, that record may be broken very quickly by Alvin Kamara in the coming years, but it doesn't matter. That's still legacy for you to have held that record with the team that drafted you. I really think that the idea of returning Mark Ingram and bringing him back for a reunion, which is something we have seen the Saints do time in and time out every offseason here recently, is potentially realistic for this team, especially if he's going to come in at a vet minimum, which is completely possible because the last thing that he did with the Baltimore Ravens was be a healthy scratch for a series of games. That's not the best selling point coming out of a franchise, right? Especially a franchise that loves to run the ball, whose MO is keep the ball on the ground. So I don't think you're going to see him have a huge market. I don't think you're going to see him have, you know, the Saints have to get into a bidding war to bring him back. If they can bring him back on a vet minimum, which again is $1.07 million, but only a portion of that actually gets charged to the New Orleans Saints because of vet minimum benefits, which came into the CBA last year, that means he's probably going to cost the Saints less than $900,000 to bring him in for a year and give him an opportunity to gather around 100-something rushing yards throughout the season and have somebody that's familiar with you, have somebody that's an outstanding pass blocker as well, right? So there's a lot of opportunities to bring back a guy like Mark Ingram. There are also some really intriguing rookies if you want a younger Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is not old by any means, but if you want a younger Alvin Kamara, there's a lot of different places that you can go. Kansas's Puka Williams. You can look at Virginia Tech with Khalil Herbert. You can go to Mississippi State with Kylan Hill. There's so many of these guys that are going to be late day two, early day three guys that you can grab that are Alvin Kamara-like. I'm not going to say that are going to be Alvin Kamara, that are going to turn into Alvin Kamara, but you want somebody that can do a little bit of everything, that can line up at receiver, that can line up in the backfield, that can catch and run and all these other things. There are those options without you having to invest a day one or potentially early day two pick in a guy like Najee Harris or Travis Etienne, who would, of course, be almost immediate fill-ins for Alvin Kamara potentially at the next level. But remember, Alvin Kamara was a third round pick himself and didn't have a ton of wear and tear coming into the NFL. That was one of the reasons why he was such a valuable commodity that the Saints would trade up to grab him. And then look what he turned into, because you got the right player in the right scheme. I think you can find that later on in this year's draft as well. If you want to have an insurance policy and a younger insurance policy at the future of the position, just in case, because the running back position is so volatile and high variance in terms of injury and output, it makes a lot of sense. If you want to do that, you can do that in this year's draft. So that's my sort of spiel about the outlook for the Saints here in 2021. We'll see who the Saints keep around, who the Saints add throughout the offseason. And of course, we'll be able to keep you up to date every step of the way here on Locked On Saints. Don't forget to come back tomorrow, y'all. It is our Top 3 Thursday. It's going to be a quick segment because we're also going to be joined by Christopher Carter of Locked On Steelers. Both the Saints and the Steelers going through similar situations, potentially looking at the end of their franchise quarterback's career and the future transition. So we're going to kind of compare franchises and help kind of talk each other through the pain a little bit. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Love working with Chris. So very excited to have him come through. And we'll also talk about our top three plays from the Saints 2020 season as well. So we have that coming up for you tomorrow. But as always, y'all, I thank you very much for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.